Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the South Florida High School Sports Show with your host Larry Bluestein on 560 WQAM.
And we do welcome you in on a Tuesday evening, last week Monday. So we're here for a couple of weeks, says Tito, in this time slot. But we are here until 9 o'clock, and we welcome you in because we have a really lively hour of a lot of newsmakers, South Florida-wise. But I will tell you, if you're driving, you're at home, wherever you may be listening, just make a mental note to re-listen to our program. We are on, on demand here at WQAM.com. So if you miss anything, any of the interviews or any of the things that we tell you, like going to SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com on a daily basis, blogs, rankings, huddles, anything that you may need as far as recruiting. And it is FSU week, as Don and Joe just alluded to on Hurricane Hotline, and it is an important week. And Tito and I were talking about that before, where everybody believes it's just a given that you show up and the team that has the upper hand on the year is just going to waltz away. It's never been like that. This series is really splits households in the middle. I mean, it's amazing. It's a great series. One of the greats in college football. Obviously, doesn't go back as far as the Alabamas and the Michigans, but it's certainly one that has produced a lot of NFL talent throughout the course of a lot of years. So that one we have, Alex Dono and myself and the gang will be on the pregame show at 11:30 for a 3:30 kickoff. And right in the middle of the day, and we know it's hot throughout Florida, so I don't think Tallahassee is going to be much of an advantage. I mean, they work out in the same heat and humidity that we have, but it's going to be hot, it's going to be muggy, and it's going to be great. A big crowd on hand, a lot of recruits will be at that contest as well. Speaking about that, also this week, I think people have planned their week pretty good to come down from wherever they were, whether it be in North Florida, be throughout the country, to take in a Friday night high school football game. We have two tremendous high school football games. I mean, there's a lot of great ones, but these two are going to be spotlight games, both on Friday night. Number one, Carroll City. Number nine, South Ridge. This should be a pretty decent game. Carroll City has been just overwhelming so far. Same night, about 40 miles to the north, Deerfield Beach, number two, will take on number five, St. Thomas Aquinas. Always interesting game. This evening, our show will start about 8:45 with Coach Steve Davis, Plantation. His Colonels are undefeated, 8A team, really, really good program. 8:30, Chris Nee, speaking about FSU week from 247 Sports, and Knowles 247 will join us, talk about recruiting and talking about how FSU, if you're an FSU fan, you want to listen to that as well. At 8:20, Coach Gary Sanchez and Hialeah. He has the T-Breds playing really good, 4-1, undefeated in a district play. And as we said at the beginning, talking about one of the games, the number two team in the area, Deerfield Beach, going against St. Thomas Aquinas. And one of the players who figures to be right in the middle of that is a junior. He's committed to Oklahoma. He joins us this evening, Jalen Knighton. Jalen, thanks so much for taking the time. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Hello. Oh, I'm sorry. Just thanks so much for taking the time. Obviously, this coming week, I don't think the coaches have to say a lot. You all know what this week represents, a game that has always been entertaining. Talk about that as you get prepared for the game against St. Thomas, bringing in a Deerfield team that has really shown that it's nationally rated this year for a reason.
We work hard every day. Every single day we put in all the work. Every piece of wood, every game, everything to do to prepare for the team that we're going to. We play Thomas. And then we know they're a great team, good team, but we feel that we got the ability to beat them. And
right.
Most teams hear about some comments, they feel that they're unstoppable. But we can assure the world that we're unstoppable. And that's on Friday night.
Yeah, and you're rated too. You're ahead of them. I mean, you guys haven't lost. You've been challenged just as much as they have. You went up to Georgia and played a really, really good football team in Buford and beat them. You came back here and beat Westlake. You met every challenge along the way. You know, this time last year, everybody was kind of concerned about the offense. The defense was always good. It always has been. This year, the defense as well. But the offense, you got to love the infusion of offensive line talent, quarterback, the receivers matured. That's got to make your job a whole lot easier. Talk about this offense and how great it is to play in it.
Last year, we lost a few pieces. The 2018 class, we lost a few pieces. But the thing was, the main focus this year was getting the pieces back. And we got the pieces back, and we put everything together. It was a puzzle. We put it all together, and now we just flowing. We flowing. We working every day. We improving. We working on our mistakes. Because most of the time, we ourselves. We got penalty stuff that's off discipline.
Right.
We working that every day. And once we meet the max with, we're on top of it.
Jalen Knighton joining us, junior running back committed to Oklahoma last week, did some great things, 347 yards rushing, which is a record, and certainly I know that, you know, against Taravella in a district game, which is extremely important. Talk about that game, and you know, I to me, 347 yards is probably a season. Talk about what it's like to run for that many yards. Do you ever keep track? Did you know you were getting close to milestones, because you did the same thing against Chaminade and had a huge game, you know, as well. Talk about that 347 yards, what it means, considering all the great running backs that Deerfield has had through the years.
It was funny because before the game, my coach was telling me that I was only playing first and second quarter, so I didn't really know. So I was giving everything I had in first and second quarters to get my yards. So When second quarter hit, they told me that I was at 247 yards. And my coach, he was a little disappointed in us because the mistakes we were making. So he didn't want none of the starters to come out. So We stayed in the game. We stayed in the game after halftime, and we were trying to get our coach come up, being unfrustrated.
Wow.
So
you did. you certainly did. I mean, that's amazing, and I mean, congratulations. I know it's a team effort because you have like Deron King giving you the ball. You have the lineman blocking up front. I mean, it's got to be a great feeling, you know. And I also found out tonight, Jalen, that I covered your dad in high school. I didn't know that you guys were related, but I'll tell you what, you could see where your talents come from, because your dad was extremely special. How much have you learn from just him being around and you know, and talking about the position and the sport with you?
Everything I know about football, about being a running back, my dad taught me.
Right.
My dad teaches me everything. My dad teaches me step by step because he experienced it. So that's a plus for me. So I appreciate my dad. I love my dad. He just applies everything to me. So yeah. Every game I have, my dad, no play is going to be perfect. And my dad tell me it's going to be a point of time when you meet your peak. And I didn't meet my peak yet, he told me. So he said that all I'm doing is improving and improving and improving. So that's the main thing. He just keeping me focused and working with me, working on everything that I need to be working on. So that's why I appreciate my dad and everything he taught me, because everything I know, my dad taught me about being a running back.
Yeah, and I could see why. Like I said, I watched him. He was special. Now, how do we get the nickname Rooster, and when did you get the nickname Rooster, and why?
I got a nickname Rooster in 2008, my first year in Little League. My coach Dave, he had two paths now, but he had named me Rooster because of my hair.
Oh.
And my hair is red, so he named me Rooster because of my hair. And
that's how it just carried on from there.
Nice, nice. And finally, the college decision early on, Oklahoma. What was it about playing for the Sooners? We all watch them on TV and see how excited and watch guys like Joe Mixon and people like that run. What is it about Oklahoma that excited you?
When I visited there, it just felt like home. It was home. And that was my favorite running back when there, which was Adrian Peterson.
Oh.
And when I visited there, it just, the first day I'm just looking at everything like, oh my God, this is beautiful. And I'm talking to the coaches, talking to the running back coach Bowler and head coach Lincoln Riley, and we were just talking about how can I affect the program, like how I can approve it.
Right.
By my running style and what, like the offense they run, I fit the offense. Pro style offense, a good one back, and it was perfect. So I made the decision I made. And what really sealed the deal was when the spring game, when I seen Adrian Peterson.
Oh, wow.
And that was nice. So
that was it. That was the deal, so, and you'll be like in the progression of this year. Nick Benito from St. Thomas went there,
yeah.
And then Jaden Davis will be there, and then you. So
yeah.
This is awesome, and you still have. This Deerfield team, and everybody's watched you now, Jaden. I think Jalen, they have an opportunity to be really special this year, and I know that Coach Glenn and everybody has been talking about it. And best of luck, and thanks so much for taking the time, and say hello to your dad. And just keep listening to him because you're doing the right thing.
Thank you, Coach. Thank
you. Good stuff. Jalen Knighton, Rooster, big time junior running back at Deerfield. If you haven't had a chance to see this kid, you're missing out. This kid's worth the price of any admission. I mean, he's fast, he's elusive, he's quick, he's strong inside, runs tackle to tackle as well as anybody, bounces it outside. I like that guy a lot, and everybody else does. We got to watch him throughout this year and then into next year as well. We're with you until 9 o'clock. Tito Madash is my producer, as we have a long way to go at about 8:45 or so. Coach Steve Davis, undefeated Plantation. Don't take them lightly. I told you this at the beginning of the year. You got to watch out. This team is well coached, has a lot of personnel. Gator Seminole fans, actually. Gator fans, too, if you want. But Seminole fans, about 8:30 or so. Chris Nee from FSU's 247. We'll talk about some of the recruits, maybe who will be at this Saturday's game against Miami. So you never know. And coming up next, we're going to be talking to Gary Sanchez, the head coach at Hialeah.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Don't you open up that window. Don't you let out that antidote.
Back with you on a South Florida High School Sports.com radio show Tuesday evening. Larry Bluestein, Tito Benash, taking you until 9 o'clock. Thanks so much to the Rooster, Jalen Knighton from Deerfield Beach, for joining us in our first segment. And certainly this is the time of year where the power rankings are starting to come out and a lot of these teams jockeying for position. One of the teams that is starting to turn things around, certainly the Hialeah T-Breads. And head coach Gary Sanchez, kind enough to join us this evening. Coach, thanks so much, and congratulations on a really good start.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you for having us. Appreciate that.
I know that you came. I saw you during the summer. Worked extremely hard trying to get everybody, that was new on the same page, and some of the kids who didn't have lead roles last year that were getting them now. Talk about that, and talk about how you brought all these kids together. Probably a year before you really thought that this would start to gel like this, but you've done it with a lot of young players. Talk about the process and how you got to be. In a position where you're undefeated in the district?
Well, it was harder than what people think. It was extremely hard.
Right.
We got 17 freshmen on this team. 13 of them are current starters. It kind of played out where it was more, if we gel in the summer, we stick together, we went out to camps, we did a bunch of 7-on-7s, we traveled, we played, we were together a lot. These kids, they just... The young guys are easier, to be honest with you, to kind of take care of. They they want to win, you know. So that was the most important part for me and for our staff, is just to change the culture of the kids,
right,
and make them understand that other than winning, there's a lot of other stuff that plays a part, you know, just the life lessons and stuff like that. But so far, so good. We're happy where we're at. We don't underestimate any team. We take every team as a top team. So,
you know, and part of your life lesson is, Coach, is that you're one of these guys that want to get the maximum out of these kids from a physical standpoint. That's something that you do quite a bit. I mean, you're a workout guy. You believe in that. The harder you work out, the less injuries you're going to have to deal with, and a lot of these kids are going to be more durable for you. Talk about how that's changed the philosophy as well.
Well, for us, philosophy in the weight room, this is what I do the most of. It's what I did for 17 years.
Right.
It was more strength and conditioning. As the kids actually, you know, that's kind of the hardest thing to do, is to get the kids to buy in into the off season, the weightlifting. That was the least of my problem. I never had a problem with the kids. They want to work out.
Sure.
We work out almost 3 times a week during the season right now.
Wow. I mean, and it's got to be working, because you have a good combination of kids who are veteran, who have been around the game, with a lot of newbie kids. I mean, kids that is their first year around really a good organized football. A lot of them come from youth leagues that kind of are like a little bit loosely run sometimes. Talk about that difference, because I think from the discipline standpoint, that may be the toughest part.
That definitely was the toughest part. By far, it was hard, just to, because some of the, they just, you know, it was optimist. They got to do what they wanted.
Sure.
And I'm not knocking anybody or any kid that came from any optimist part. It's just the kid, you know, it's a little bit more structured. Now you have to go to class. You got to go to football practice. And it plays, you know, hand in hand. And I'm a disciplinary guy. You know, I'll be honest with you, we haven't even played with our full roster yet since week one. We haven't played with our full roster.
Wow. And you take a look at this team, I mean, and all the people that you've been around at Hialeah and some of the other places that you've kind of taken little things from. I mean, you look at your athletic director, Mark Berman, who probably was as diligent as anybody when it came to getting kids looked at and getting kids taught and getting kids placed. Talk about that, because I know parents these days, they want to know, you know, what are you going to teach my kid and where are you going to send him, obviously. Yeah. I mean, that's just the way it is. But speak of that, because I think that's important for the parents listening tonight to understand that, you know, I mean, yeah, the head coach and all the coaches, you know, it is somewhat their responsibility to aid and assist in the process. But the parents got to get involved as well. Talk about that as well.
I tell you, we had 3 meetings with parents, one at the beginning of the year, one in the spring, one right before the season started. And our parents have been super cooperative. They understand, you know, they understand the process. They understand what they need to do. I also set a standard on them as well. Like,
right.
Hey, we need to make sure that we keep their grades up, not just me, but you as a parent. And they understand that. At first, it kind of rubs a few parents maybe the wrong way, but then they got the picture and they kind of fall in place and everything kind of just worked out.
Yeah.
But right now, I got maybe a progress reports came out, and we had one kid with 1 C.
Wow.
On the whole team. So it was great. It was fantastic.
That would have been me, Coach. That would have been me, I think.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, though. I mean, you've done it on the football field. Your coaching staff has really risen to the occasion as far as being teachers. Talk about some of the kids. You know, I mean, you know, there's a lot of kids that are young, but there's a lot of veterans. Who are some of the guys that are being the leaders for you so far this year?
Right now, Antoine Dorsonville, our receiver number 4, he's been a big leader on and off the field. Riley Aguilar, quarterback, he's a junior. He's been great to us. He's just a leader. He leads by example. Lazaro Sanchez, our starting guard, also plays a little bit of D-tackle for us. And then our young guys, I tell you what, I would have to name them all. They all have a leadership role. It's kind of mind-boggling sometimes. It's just because you kind of see, like, even the freshmen are taking this role and they want to be leaders, you know, with, you know, Corey Hammett, Martavius Robinson, G7, J.R. Beyond Celestine, they call him G7. Even him, like, you would think that he came from a program where, you know, he's supposed to have everything. He's a leader, man. He's a leader.
I like that, yeah.
I love him. I love these kids. They're great. I love I love everything they do. You know, we haven't really had any, like, fall off. The kids are just, they're really receptive of what we're doing.
Yep.
And they really want to change. They want to make a change.
That's a great thing. That's an awesome thing. Coach Gary Sanchez joining us, Hialeah High. The alumni goes back decades, decades, and decades. And obviously when the T-Breads or with the T-Bread family is winning in anything, there's a little rallying point. I know there's a lot of people that went to Hialeah High that'll text me from time to time, how are my T-Breads doing? And when I tell them this year, they're excited. How has it been from your standpoint? I mean, did people get in touch with you and say, hey, great job?
We've had class of 78, class of 79, class of 80, I think almost all 80 reach out to me through either social media, even come by. We've had them talk, you know, nice. Right before our game. It's been, honestly, it's kind of surreal just to, you know, be a former alumni from Hialeah and then have all the guys that were there even before me. And I'm like, wow, like, it's coming along. The community is coming along. It's kind of what we wanted. Obviously, you got to win sometimes to get that going, but that's just the way things are now. And you know, and just doing things the right way was the most important thing for me. I stuck with my vision, and it's just to, you know, put these kids in the best opportunity and the best possibility they have.
No doubt. No, and you know what, too, for generations and generations, it's always been a Hispanic neighborhood, and they've always fought, you know, the stigma of football. But now
Correct.
We're in different times. A lot of the kids, the Latin kids who would just concentrate on baseball in the past are now playing American football. And that's a great thing because now you're getting a lot of kids. I mean, back in our day, when Ralph Ortega played at Coral Gables in the late 60s, early 70s, he was the first Cuban-American to play in the NFL. So, I mean, obviously the sport and the culture and a lot of the people in your community, there's a better understanding of the sport than maybe 15 or 20 years ago.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And I know that's a positive thing. So you got the rest of the district season. Who's your next game against?
We play next week, well, this week, Friday, we play Pace.
Oh, okay.
We play Pace at 7:30 Friday at Mylander.
Good stuff. Well, it's a good kind of a neighborhood rivalry. Say hello to Coach Zacchio. Good guy. He's going out after this year, and a guy that's done a lot for the sport. And I know you know that.
Oh, definitely. But much respect to Zacchio. Always a lot of respect for
good
him.
Stuff.
You know, team is well coached. They're a good team. I can't knock anything about them. I would never. On and off the radio, I would never talk bad about him. I think he does a fantastic job.
Agreed.
Glad to see him go, but happy to see him kind of just move on and maybe do something, spend more time with his family, I'm sure.
No doubt.
So,
good stuff, Coach. Thanks so much for taking the time. Continued success.
Appreciate you. Thank you for everything.
Anytime. Gary Sanchez, Hialeah, off to a great start in a district that right now looks like them probably in North Miami clashing in a few weeks for the district lead. As we talked before, Tito and I had an opportunity to kind of discuss how important this game is this week from a recruiting standpoint. Maybe not immediately, but maybe in the future. You never know what young kid's going to be at the game and kind of see a team, see a player that he liked. And somebody's been right in the middle of the FSU recruiting situation for a number of years. And this year, kind of weeding his way through. The season has been different than a lot of people are used to, but certainly, as we told you before, FSU's loaded with talent. They still have quite a few kids that are going to be coming in over the next couple of years, and this program will not go away. Chris Nee joins us from 247 Sports. Chris, thanks so much for taking the time.
Hey, Larry. How are you, buddy?
Good. I'm doing good. You know, the fact is that I know that while in Tallahassee and in Seminole Land, a lot of people are down and out, but the reality of it is there's still a national product that is still going to recruit. They still have a lot of kids on their roster and a lot of kids coming in. Talk about what the process has been during these tough times and how the recruits have talked with you.
They haven't been the most impressive product on the field. They've really not played very well in four of their five games so far this year. They truthfully got lucky this past Saturday beating Louisville. Louisville kind of gifted that. So recruits are largely taking a wait-and-see attitude to it. One thing I've noticed with this coaching transition compared to the last one I covered here when Coach Fisher took over is that there's not yet a guy in that class who's kind of carrying the flag and reinforcing what the coaching staff is saying. And the last go-round, it was E.J. Manuel doing that for Jimbo Fisher, and it helped a lot with getting a lot of recruits to buy in that they would hear something from a coach and then a player.
Right.
I don't think a kid yet in this class is doing that. So that's one thing they need. I mean, recruiting-wise, they're number 11 in the 247 rankings. It's not a bad class. They're in with a lot of really good players. They're competing with the Bamas, the Georgias, the Clemsons, teams that are putting together much better seasons on the field. So it's tough to kind of, you know, combat that and outdo those type of teams when you're doing pros and cons comparing the two for the prospect.
You know, Chris, too, I mean, they have just such a vast area to recruit in. I mean, as we said, from the Tallahassee campus, 4 hours will bring you a lot of different places. You know, you look at some areas, South Florida's being one of it, 4 hours may get you north of Orlando. And which isn't so bad because it's really good recruiting. Talk about that, because FSU's reach over the last 25, 30 years has become further and further, where they've gone to California, where they've gone to Minnesota, where they go to a lot of different places. So they're not kind of pigeonholing themselves to one area. They're not looking just in the Florida area, maybe in the Georgia area, but they're a national recruiting machine. Talk about that, too, how that's appealing, you know, halfway across the country on some kids that they're in.
Well, they're certainly a national brand. It's kind of funny, they've ping-ponged over the years whether they want to be more regional versus more national. I think under Coach Taggart, the first focus is definitely going to be Florida and especially South Georgia, which they didn't do particularly well in that area in recent years. Then you get up to Atlanta, but you're competing with Auburn, Alabama, Clemson when you get to Atlanta. But then you're also able to go out west. And a kid like Jaden Woodby is kind of a spokesperson for California kids. He's going to be in the conversation with those type of kids. You've got a kid like Marvin Wilson, great player from Texas, Dontavius Jackson, also from Texas. So you got guys like that that will help to get you into areas. You got Trayshawn Harrison from the state of Washington. He's got a great young teammate, Savelle Smalls, kid that they're in with currently. So they're able to do that. You got Cam Akers from Mississippi. Mm-hmm. Charles Cross is in this recruiting class from Mississippi. So you're able to kind of branch out. They've always had a lot of luck up in the DMV area. That's always been kind of a great area for FSU to go get good talent. Levante Taylor is a current player from that area. You know, Josh Sweat's guy who just left the program, who was from that area, who was a very good player. And they've got other guys. A.J. Litton's a youngin' on the roster who's from that area, who's very good. So they've always had the ability to kind of go knock down doors, regardless of who the coach was, whether it was Coach Bowden, Coach Fisher, now Coach Taggart. They've been able to have a national brand. As long as the program's able to show progress under Coach Taggart, I think that will continue.
Yeah, no doubt. Chris Neate joining us, 247 Sports. And one of the things, too, Chris, is when you take a look at this program, the coaching staff. I mean, it was vital to get coaches who knew the recruiting and had good relationships. And that's, I think, that they've kind of done that pretty well. You know, there's a lot of guys that people may not know of, but there are a lot of solid figures who have been there, done that on that staff. Talk to that and talk about how much impact, as you mentioned, in South Florida with a few faces that a lot of people know down here.
Well, it starts at the top with Coach Taggart. He's an aggressive recruiter. He's a guy that's willing to go out there and pound the pavement and do what needs to be done in recruiting. He's a head coach who wants to recruit. He wants guys who want to recruit like he does. Raymond Woody, very close friend of his, been on multiple staffs with him. Coach Woody's a guy that loves the competition of recruiting. He's going to go. He's going to work really hard in like the Naples area, Fort Myers area, put in a lot of effort there. Now, down in your ballpark, Kelly Lockett's a familiar name, a guy that has a lot of connections to a lot of high schools down there. He helps to get you in the door. A guy like David Kelly loves recruiting Dayton Broward and South Park areas. Coach Pimpleton, the running back coach, Dante Pimpleton, he's doing Space Coast and working his way towards Dayton Broward. He's getting more comfortable in that area working with those guys. So they have a lot of guys who are willing to go into those high schools, work hard. Coach Lockett's kind of the guy that serves as a doormat of sort to get you to the front door, get you into the office. And Coach Kelly, who's worked that area for a long time at a lot of different stops, he also is very popular down there from what I understand. So set the table for you in the South Florida recruiting department.
Yeah. Yeah, and Kelly kind of helped turn around UCF when he was up there too,
right,
using a multitude of South Florida kids. So yeah, your point is well taken from that, because a lot of people know the familiar faces, and obviously in this game this week, there's going to be kids that are on both, you know, Florida State and Miami are in on a bunch of kids together. Who do you look for, or who do you know that may be coming down that will take in this game that you know that maybe they have a bunch of different schools, but Florida State and Miami are within them?
I mean, Akeem Dent's probably the first guy that comes to mind, committed to FSU, but obviously right there in Miami's backyard, he's expected at the game. Cardell Thomas, who's actually an LSU commitment, is a kid that both schools are in on, but I don't expect him at the game as of now.
Okay.
Evan Neal, offensive lineman at ING, who's from Okeechobee. You know, he's a top target for the Canes. He's a major need for FSU. Alabama's a third party in that one. I don't know at this point if Evan has any plans for this week. At last check, I don't believe he did. You know, there's several others. And the thing is, it's far-reaching. It's not solely 2019 kids. It's those 20, 21, 22 kids.
Agreed.
And the kids that are coming up watching the FSU-Miami rivalry, it matters. When FSU is able to string together victories, it opens up more doors for them in South Florida. When Miami's able to string together victories, it kind of builds a fence for them and keeps more kids in the area that those two are going to go head-to-head for.
And you look at the FSU roster, well-stacked with some playmakers from South Florida, obviously. People are talking about the kid Burns, who's just crazy good, and everybody knew that. But it's far-reaching because it's been like that for years. I mean, because FSU and Tallahassee and Miami's had always that direct link, a good place to, you know, a lot of families. Like I said, a lot of split families between these two schools, and you wouldn't want to have it any other way. Chris, I appreciate you taking the time as always. Tell everybody how they can follow you, not just now but throughout the year and during the recruiting process.
Knowles247.com or on Twitter at CNe247 or Knowles247 on Twitter, either one.
Good stuff, Chris. Thanks so much as always, and have a good evening, and we'll talk with you soon.
All right, thanks, Blue.
Anytime. Chris Neve, 247, great guy, very knowledgeable, as you could tell. That's what we do. We have to have these. We have the most knowledgeable recruiting people, not just South Florida and Florida, but nationally, and certainly Andrew Ivins and him and Chris Neve are two of the best when we do USF and UCF with Dakota Wilson, new guy at UCF now. that we're dealing with, but a lot of the guys giving you first-hand information, and that's what is important. With you until 9 o'clock, Larry Bluestein, South Florida High School Sports.com radio show. Just a reminder, please, if you have an opportunity, whether it's tonight or tomorrow, check us out, South Florida High School Sports.com. It's our website. It's changed daily. You can go to WQAM.com and then find us on there as well. Our podcast, our everything that we have going. Tonight's show will be up there, and certainly Tito will have it as well. We come back, close out a Tuesday evening on South Florida High School Sports.com. Coach Steve Davis from Undefeated Plantation next.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Love tonight. What? But it's going to be all right. Yeah.
Back with you on a South Florida High School Sports.com radio show Tuesday evening. Larry Bluestein, Tito Banas joining us. Thanks so much to head coach Gary Sanchez of Hialeah and also to Chris Neve from 247 Sports, being FSU week, filling us in on some of the athletes that may be at the game and thinking both ways, Florida State and Miami. And will be interesting. That's coming up on Saturday, 3:30. We'll have the pregame at 11:30. Right here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. As we told you, our listing came out this week once again, top 15. We do that every Tuesday on South Florida High School Sports.com. One of the teams that has been an occupant since the beginning and obviously had a very strong off season. Started off the season extremely well, undefeated in 8A play, and one of the top teams in the region. Coach Steve Davis and Plantation Colonels, and Coach Davis joins us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time.
No problem, Larry. How you doing, buddy?
Good. Got a chance to watch you in a really good game against Miramar, the game that everybody had been looking forward to, and certainly a rematch kind of last year. Showed your team a lot more physical this time around against a younger Miramar team, but it was kind of reversed last year where they had all the veteran players and you were the younger team, and things have worked out extremely well for you this year. Talk about this team and the character and the talent that they've shown so far.
Well, they're a hard-working bunch, and they've really done a good job this year so far, focusing in on every game this season, and you know, kind of trying to take it one by one. And like you say, you know, that was a very good game against Miramar. Miramar is always a very, very strong program in 8A. And, you know, we have some more games ahead. Yes. You know, the next couple of weeks, we got Everglades. We got to travel down there Friday night. And then we have Western. It's going to be a big game at their place, too. So there's still a lot of football to be played.
You know, looking at this region, and obviously the region gets tougher and tougher every year. You know, top last year with Miramar being on the top, and you guys had an opportunity to play Atlantic with a team that you had your chances, obviously, and a team that was a state runner-up. This region has gotten so strong now because year after year, let's say every year you're going to look at your district and say, well, Plantation, Miramar, and Western have a really good chance of being in the seeding, which they if you look at the opening seeding, they are. Then you take a look at a team like Atlantic and then Palm Beach Central, then Deerfield. So this thing has tightened up to the point where you have some pretty darn good football teams just to get out of this area. Talk about that, too, because you have to play two of them in your own district.
Yeah, you know, me and you've talked about that before. And I said, I'm like, Larry, how do you get so much talent in this area? And it's incredible. I mean, just because you just named like all those teams,
yeah,
you know, just in this region that have incredible athletes and very good football coaches and good teams. So, I mean, you can't look ahead at all because, you know, you just have to continue to get better on a weekly basis because the road's going to narrow as we get, you know, into late October and early November. And I anticipate there are going to be some very good football teams in those eight slots in the playoffs. So, you know, like I said, it's amazing amount of
talent. Well, I didn't mean to remind you of all the teams, but I mean, and that's just to get out of your region. And I didn't even mention a Dade County team, which you will have to beat just to get out to go to state. Certainly a pretty tall road. But I know that you prefer to look at one game at a time. And obviously, coming up, you said Everglades is a program that you know on the way back has some talent. Coach has done a pretty good job. But your team is predicated, always has been ever since you were back at Ely, around a solid defense. This is a team that'll get you up front with a good front seven and quality secondary. Talk about the defense and how they kind of set the tempo for you this year.
Well, yeah, we always try to set the table with those guys. Coach Otis Reagan, our defensive coordinator in the last 8 or 9 years, he's done an excellent job, and the kids know him. He's a former Plantation defensive back, so he understands our kids, the program. He does a really good job preparing those guys every week. And we have some good players on that side of the ball, Khalil Bryan, an outstanding defensive tackle. We have a Syracuse commit, Adrian Cole at corner. Otis Reagan Jr. is like the quarterback back there for us at free safety. So we have some really good players, some young kids mixed in there. And, you know, we're just hoping those guys continue to play well as we move forward. And then offensively, you know, we're able to throw the ball a little bit more this year. We got Gerard Nesbitt, a really good young quarterback that's doing a good job for us. And have some good running backs, Hammersham White Jr., Elijah Barwell. Those guys have really done a good job. And up front, offensive line is playing well. So right now we have everything clicking. We just want to try to continue keeping that going. And like I say, this, you know, Friday night with Everglades, try to turn another good performance if we can.
You know, I mean, I let you let that sneak that by with that passing because I think anybody's followed you. I think you've thrown like four times a game over the last couple of years. But when you have a 6'2", 235, 240-pound quarterback who could sling it, obviously you got to implement him in the offense. Talk about your young junior at quarterback there.
Well, Gerard, he's a kid that came to us in January, and he's really done a good job of just coming into our culture and really learning our offense and then us understanding his skill set and what he can do. He has an outstanding arm, probably the strongest arm kid I've coached in the two schools I've been at. And he's just developing. He hasn't even played his best football yet. And we've slimmed him down a little bit. He's probably about 225 right now.
Wow.
And a little bit closer to 6'3". So
Good size kid, no doubt about it.
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
He's one of those guys that you look at the beginning, especially when he was up in weight. You think, well, we could push him over an offensive guard for a play, and no one would ever know. But also too, you talk about your running game, and you talk about a couple of kids early on, but also the kid that was your senior running back who's been with you for Kyle Walters. Here's a strong kid. He's extremely tough to get down. I like him a lot. I know he's been hurt over the last year or so, but talk about him, because I think he's been with your program for a number of years, and I remember when he was in the ninth grade. I remember when he was in youth football, and they had talked about him a lot. But he's certainly matured into a pretty decent runner as well.
Yeah, Kyle's a very, very good running back. Like I say, and he hurt his ankle again in the Miramar game, so he's been out in the last couple of weeks. But we're definitely looking forward to getting him back. He's working real hard with our training staff, you know, during practice and trying to get back. And we're hoping to get him back against Western. But like I say, Larry, he's a very good player, a kid that we're definitely going to need down the road, you know, when we see these tough teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, no doubt. Coach, before we let you go, obviously, I mean, you've been touched by a lot of lives, and you've touched equally amount, and certainly the passing of Tyrone Moss, somebody who you were extremely close with and coached, and with his family, and certainly with Ryan Shazier, and how he's just come back and with his inspiration from his family and all his friends. Talk about that, having been around two of the icons in South Florida.
Yeah, those two kids you just mentioned are great, great players and also great people. You know, the passing of Tyrone was really unfortunate. Such a young man, a father with a young family, and we just, you know, hated to see that. And I said this summer when that happened, I wanted to dedicate this season to his memory and our football team. So he's definitely an inspiration to us, and you know, his memory will always be there. We were able to retire his jersey earlier this season. So that was very emotional. And, you know, his parents and everybody was there. So that was great. And then Ryan Shazier's doing better. He's moving around a lot, and he's staying close to the Steelers, and they're a great organization, and they keep him close. And, you know, we're hoping he makes this a full recovery, and he's also expecting a child. So, another young guy with a young family. So we just wish him the best.
And it shows you how these families, and I mentioned two families who really immersed themselves in your programs when you had them at your schools, you know. I mean, and I remember Ryan's dad always around and just being an inspiration to everybody. And the same thing with the Moss family and certainly what, you know, what they did. And that was a very special time, too, and during your state championship run and being around. And you know, we talked about that not too long ago with Trey Smith from Venice. And what a bond he and Tyrone formed just for being just two of the best athletes on the field that day. Coach, again, thanks so much for taking the time to share all that with us. And certainly the best of luck. You know, we'll see you down the line. That Western game looks pretty appealing, and certainly one that I think everybody in South Florida that should check out. Two really good 8A teams, two good talents, and certainly anticipating some more. Thanks, Coach.
Okay, thanks, Larry. Have a good night.
Anytime. Steve Davis, and the head coach at Plantation, and obviously, you know, it's tough when you lose somebody that young, and I do remember with the team that Coach had with Tyrone on it, and just an excellent, and then Ryan Shazier and all the guys that he coached that a lot of people don't remember, like Josh Robinson, played in the NFL. Brandon McGee went to the University of Miami and was a tremendous athlete. But Plantations just churns them out throughout the years. Ryan Schneider, I have to get that in, and Kevin Beard, I have to get them in too. But I know there's a billion other guys that'll text me tonight, how come you didn't mention my name? But certainly, what a great show this evening. I enjoyed it immensely. Jalen Rooster Knighton started it off from Deerfield Beach. Great junior running back. Gary Sanchez, head coach at Hialeah. Chris Neve from 247 Sports. Follow his stuff, USF, or FSU, rather. And you could check out what's going to happen with this weekend's game as far as recruiting. You'll have all that. And we wrap things up with Coach Steve Davis. We thank you all for checking it out. We'll be back with you next Tuesday. Thank you, Tito. We'll see you on the pregame at 11:30 on Saturday.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.